On Monday, January 6th, the Journal and Courier published an article with the headline, "This is the place to come. Stuck travelers praise accommodations." That place for stuck travelers was the emergency center, the emergency shelter, Faith Community Center. Now, the individual who made that comment was named Nicole Harris, and she was making a journey from Atlanta to Chicago by way of the Faith Community Center due to Snowmageddon, or the Snowmageddon, or the Snowpocalypse, the Polar Vortex, or as we in North Dakota like to say, Monday. Her full comments were, "We enjoyed our night. They really helped us a lot. The shower was excellent. The clean towels, they made sure we had plenty of snacks. This is the place to come. They are going to take care of you." First, I just want to thank everybody who makes those kind of things happen, from Faith West and Faith East, people who make the shelters available. The Red Cross are great partners, all the staff and volunteers, and our maintenance staff. I mean, they shoveled snow and moved snow pretty much until the snow melted. So they were just constantly doing that, allowing us to serve the community. So I just want to thank everyone who took part in that. Secondly, though, can you believe that our local newspaper just said Faith Community Center is the place to come? Just in big headlines, that kind of focus. And I think that is an example that God is giving us a great opportunity of what this year is all about. I'm ultimately loving our neighbors. So that is one example of how God is just paving the way, even through snow, to love our neighbors in a special way. The first Sunday of the year is a time when Pastor Viers introduces the theme through a message that's titled, Why Are We Here? Where Are We Going? And How Do You Fit In? Obviously, last Sunday, Indiana's Snowpocalypse, Pastor Viers did not do that one. And he made a strategic decision to hold off on preaching that sermon because only a small portion of our church would have heard that important message. So he's going to preach that sermon next week. So that is coming. He was also going to introduce us to a new series entitled, Why Should I Care? Why should I care? The question really is all about our neighbors, which is, why should I care about friendships? Why should I care about the elderly? Why should I care about racial reconciliation? Why should I care about the poor? Why should I care about the hurting? You know, loving our neighbors. Why should I care about different categories of our neighbors? You know, there's many things to care about in life. Why should I care about my neighbor? Well, as always, we're not going to find the answers in and of ourselves. We're going to find it in God's Word. And so today we're considering, why should I care about building friendships? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought or said something negative about friendships? Maybe to yourself or to someone else in a difficult time in your life? Maybe you've thought or said to yourself, I don't have any friends. Or, you know, maybe you said, I don't need any friends. Or maybe you say, I'm not in the in group wherever I go. I just don't feel like I fit in. Or how about this great one? You ever heard this before? Life would be great except for all the people. You heard that one before? I can pull myself up on my own bootstraps. I don't need anybody else. Nobody cares about me. I'm a loner, and that's the way that I like it. It's better for me just to do things than let others participate. You ever heard that one before? If you want it done right, you do it yourself. That's oftentimes the comments we say. Or maybe you say things like, you know, it doesn't really matter if I know my neighbors. It doesn't really matter if anybody in church knows me. I just come to hear the sermon. At least I'm in church. Or maybe you said, I'm not really a hospitable person. Hospitality is not my spiritual gift. You know, I've said a number of those things to myself, to others before, and I'm sure many of you would agree you've said those things, if not to someone else, maybe to yourself. If that's where you are, if you've said that, then you need to hear the Word of God today, just as I do. So if you will, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. We're going to be going through a number of verses this morning, so keep your finger in your Bible. We are going to be in there and around there often. So page 1 in the front section of your Bible is where we're going to start. And as I said, we're going to go to more passages in Scripture than usual because of the nature of this study this morning. There's not one passage in the Bible that gives us all the answers to the question, why should I care about building friendships? So in one sense, today we are synthesizing the message of Scripture on this topic. So we're doing an exercise in systematic theology, as opposed to just looking at one passage of Scripture. So, Genesis 1:26 and 27. Notice the words that I emphasize as I read this verse, this passage. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Did you notice all the personal pronouns? Us, our, them. Now flip over to Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. So think about those personal pronouns. Now let's look at God. I'm talking about creation of man a little bit more intimately. Verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden to the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. Did you notice the intimacy of God forming man? We're going to combine that and look at that in a moment. Now flip in your Bibles all the way to the back, to Revelations verse 21, page 201 in the back section. Revelation 21, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. This is referring to the end times, the end of all things. Listen, if you will, to the proximity between God and man. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Now look over one column to Revelation 22, and think about the connection between God and his people. Revelation 22, verse 1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his bond servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no longer any night, for they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. Let's just take a step back and reflect on the passages we just read. You see a glimpse of God creating, and you see a glimpse of what the end of all things is going to be like. You see the beginning and the end. And at both locations, there is a plurality of God and his people. There's multiple people in both passages. There's a lot in these passages. But as we begin to ask the question, why should I care about building friendships? One clear answer from the text we read is that God is a relational God. You see that over and over again. You see God, solitary God, with solitary man, but there's not simple solitariness. There's not simply one. There's a plurality in union. And at the end of Revelation, we see also there's a lot of people around the throne bringing glory to God and to the Lamb. You notice in Genesis how he says, "Let us make Adam and Eve, male and female." He creates them. Let us create them. And in the end, God says the throne of God and the Lamb will be among